Well, thank you so much. It is so good to be here. I want to say thank you for the wonderful hotel that you put us in, and my family and I greatly appreciate it, and also the wonderful meal that Pastor Bragg took us to. Thank you so much, and we are so excited to be here. I'm thankful to have my family with me this time. This is my wife's first furlough meeting with me since we've been back. The kids have rotated with Daddy on the other furlough meetings on the East Coast, but this is our first meeting where we are all together as a family. So you have the whole kit and caboodle of the Dietrich family, and I am so happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to updating you and telling you as a church family how your missions dollars has impacted the lives of the Solomon Islands. And this will be a unique presentation. I'm going to be showing you faces so that you can see where your missions dollars are going and the faces of the people that you have impacted. And I want to say thank you so much for your support, and not only just your support, but also your encouragement that we receive, whether it's through verbal, whether it's through email. We greatly appreciate it, and it does help your missionaries. And so please do not stop. We greatly appreciate that. As I said, my wife is here, but we also have Corbin and Kezia. I'm holding Kezia there, and then Corbin is down in the middle. They are both in the nursery with us. You'll see them running around here after the service, or walking around here after the service. Well, this is a gymnasium, isn't it? Okay, all right. So they'll be around. They will be around during the service, and we are so happy, and we're especially excited about our third baby on the way. And no, we do not know the gender, and at this point, we are not finding out the gender, so don't ask. But we are excited about baby number three, who's on the way. And I want to say thank you in this last year for many prayers that I know our supporting churches were praying for us during two specific things during our life. Number one was when my wife was medevaced to Australia during a issue that she was having. And we want to praise the Lord that she is completely healed from the surgery that she had to have in Australia. And I know that people were praying, and how God worked all of that out was amazing. I could go on and on how God just worked out several steps along the way to make sure that this was, though it was a interesting time, the Lord really brought us through that, and we're grateful for it. Number one, number two, if you ever want an experience, by the way, try an Australian emergency room. It is a different experience. My wife and I had good times and good stories from an Australian emergency room. Another story was, as brothers and sisters do, messes were made. And somehow, we're not quite sure, an individual who will remain nameless ended up getting washing detergent over his sister. And because she is very strong, and my wife was not feeling well at the time, we were not able to get her eyes washed out properly. And for 3 days, her eyes were shut. And we were worried about the health of her eyes. But thankfully, after 3 days where her eyes were shut, she began to open them, and we began to see her eyes again. And we were very thankful for that. And after, we were able to take her to the eye doctor there in the Solomon Islands, and from what he could see, there was no damage to her eyes. And we are very thankful for those who knew and those who prayed for her during that time. It was a trial for her, but Mom and Daddy's hearts were hurting during that time, and we're thankful for that. And the washing detergent is way, way up high now. We're grateful for that. Here's a couple. This was the first time that we were able to actually see a crack, see her eyes there. And we were able to see her smile as well. We're very thankful for that. Our kids have adjusted well to the culture in the Solomon Islands. Corbin has many friends. Just the other day, one thing that I think the thing that he misses most in the Solomon Islands is the dirt. His grandpa and grandma, where we were staying, have a grassy yard. And he asked Mommy the other day, he's like, Mommy, I want some dirt. He misses his dirt where he can play with his dump trucks. But he is adjusted well. Here we have our Solomon cowboy, he just loves his town. He asks for his friends. He wants to go to Ara's house. That's our neighbor's house. And Kezia loves church. As you can see from what is stuffed in her mouth, she gets free cookies And she loves church as well. I want to this man here holding Corbin is Joseph, and I want to ask you all to pray for Joseph. Joseph is the man leading Pacific Light Baptist Church while we are away, and he is such a godsend to our ministry. We are so thankful for him, and he is a man that just wants to get in and to serve people. He loves people, and he is, as much as we are there for the Solomon Islander people, it's men like Joseph who we find out he is as much of a blessing to us, and he has encouraged us in many ways. And just please continue to pray for Joseph, and we miss him, but as he is leading the church, please continue to pray for him. One amazing thing about the church, and that has really impacted my heart as their pastor, is the Solomon Islands is made up of many islands and many cultures. Each island sort of has its own culture. And when they are all in Haniara, the cultures and the languages seem to stick together. And so you have churches that are mainly focused on one language. And when you come into our church, we have many different islands represented in many different languages. And when we first started, you could see some people would come in and you'd see three or four different islands. Well, now we are starting to see where our people, even though they speak their tribal language, their home language is different, and they are from a different island, and even where there are some animosities between the islands, when they come to church and they're at our church, there is a love there and there's a fellowship there that we see. And just a couple weeks before we left, I was talking with one of our people and I asked them how their week was going. And they told me a story about how they had some time before it got dark. And so they walked to brother and sister so-and-so's house. They bought some bananas along the way and they had some fellowship. And that was such a blessing to me to know that my people, our people of Pacific Light Baptist Church, are spending time with each other outside of church. And I was very thankful for that, to hear about that and the fellowship that they were having. These are two of our girls here. This is Stephanie and Bonnie. And they are just a joy. They've become their best friends, are they not, Nora? Yeah, they spend almost all their time together at church. And we're very thankful for them. Nora has had quite a ministry opportunity with the children, and her ministry has exploded there with the kids. As you can see, they make use of about every inch of floor space there, and just being able to invest in the kids and tell them Bible stories. Nora and I are both fluent in Pidgin now, so all of the Bible stories and all the preaching now is in Pidgin. And so she is able to communicate with them a lot better than when we first arrived. Nora was also able to start a Bible study with one of our main families. We have here on the, starting from the right going to the left, is Florence, and then Stephanie right next to Nora. And then Cynthia right next to Nora, then Stephanie and Ulithia. And she was able to start Bible studies every Wednesday afternoon with these girls, and was able to really work with them. Cynthia has received Christ as her Savior, and just before we left, she followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And Florence, continue to pray for Florence and Stephanie and Ulithia, as the Lord is still working in their heart and by way of salvation. We know that the Lord is working. They have opened up now the barrier of just shame of asking questions, and the nervousness of asking questions has broken down between the girls and Nora, and so they're starting to ask questions. So please continue to pray for these girls that they are sitting under Joseph's preaching. God will continue to work in their hearts, and that we would soon be hearing of them receiving Christ as their Savior. Here's another picture of Cynthia. This is Joe and Sam. Sam there on the right is a former Anglican priest. And one interesting thing about him is when he came for the first time, a trained Anglican priest, when he came to our church for the first time, he said, "This is the first time that I've actually heard the words explained from God's word." And I said, What happens at the church? And he said, when we are having our church services, they read passages of scripture and then they close the Bible and say, "This is the word of God." And then they go on to other religious practices within the service. And he said, I've never had the Word of God broken down into separate words and explained and taught. And he said, this is amazing. I've never heard this before. And so please continue to pray for Joe and Sam. They have gone through our Bible program where they read a John and Romans that they receive on the streets. And then they read that. They call us, set up a time for a Bible study. And then after that Bible study, we give them a free Bible. We've made many good contacts from this. Many people who are in our church are there because of that program. And so please continue to pray for them. I believe right now both of them are back in their home island because COVID-19. And the Prime Minister's asked that non-working Solomon Islanders go back to their home province. And so I believe they're back in their home island right now. This is another gentleman who has completed our Bible program, Michael. Please continue to pray for him. It was a joy to remodel our auditorium or our room where we meet. And it was a joy to see so many men eager to make where we meet for worship nice. And that was just a good time of fellowship. And I greatly enjoyed that, getting to know my men more. And these are a few pictures of our services, one of our last services before we left. And after we sort of recovered from the original COVID scare that came into the Solomon Islands, and we are thankful for the lives that God has given us to be able to minister to. And as I said, they're an encouragement to us. Here is a few more pictures of a Bible study that we were able to have and sort of in the village with one of our people. If you see this, this is a tall hill. I don't know if you can see it clearly, but about right there, there is a lady holding Kezia. And then I'm up here, and about that same distance between me and Kezia, but only going up, is the house where they were at. And they had toddlers. And there was a 15-foot, 20-foot drop-off with no guardrail right where they were at. Nora said, I am so thankful that we do not have a house that is right there. But we were able to go to them, have a Bible study. They showed us some Solomon Islands hospitality and have a Bible study with them. Please be praying for the wife. You can see her right here. She is one of those that are still asking questions. She's still seeking. And one thing that I'm really finding out with the Solomon culture, it is a very churched culture. And what I mean by that is they are very, it's a very religious culture. They've been in church most of their lives. Many of the people have been in church most of their lives. Many of them have been Anglican, Roman Catholic. And so, but we know from many of those religions is that they preach faith by works or faith by baptism. And so when a young guy comes to the Solomon Islands and starts preaching, there is faith by, faith is only by faith, believing, it's new to many of them. And so it takes time for them to start to understand. It takes time reading the same Bible verse over and over and over before they will finally understand, oh, I don't have to do anything except believe. And so please be praying for many of these people as they are full of questions, but you have to break that ice down. You have to break that ice before they will open up. And so please continue to pray for these people. They are some of the friendliest and happiest people that you will ever meet and the kindest people that you will ever meet. But they are entrenched in a false belief, a false interpretation of Scripture. And so please continue to pray for them. Please continue to pray for the future of the ministry there in the Solomon Islands. We have many needs, and one of them is help. There is so much to do, and we are thankful to say that we have, right now, we have two couples who are seriously considering coming to the Solomon Islands and assisting the work there in the Solomon Islands. So please continue to pray for that and pray that the Lord would continue to grow the work there and the people there and keep them together, keep them in fellowship, keep them encouraged by each other. And just right 2 weeks ago, the first COVID cases were diagnosed in the Solomon Islands. I think right now there's two or three, but they have been successfully quarantined. They came in on a quarantine flight. So as far as we know, they have not actually gone out into general population. So please continue to pray for that, that the Lord would just keep the Solomon Islands safe, because they do not have the medical care and the medical capabilities that we do. And also continue to pray for my wife's health and for the baby. and that the Lord would continue to protect her and the little one as the pregnancy goes on. We are thankful for the good health and for the good reports that we have had from the doctor. If you could turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. I will say before we read from God's Word that we do have prayer cards in the back. They have all four of us. I don't know if you have received our updated prayer cards, but if you have not received our updated prayer cards, which will soon be outdated, you will be able to get one of those in the back. And if you have any questions, my wife and I will be at the table, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Psalms chapter 78, we read an interesting psalm here. We see an interesting psalm here, and it talks about the children of Israel and their exodus from Egypt into the promised land and their time between those two periods of life, their time in Egypt and their time to the promised land, and many of the things that God brought them through. We see that God brought them through the parting of the Red Sea. We see that when they were hungry, God brought manna and quail from heaven. When we see that they were thirsty, God brought the water from the rock. When they were wandering through the wilderness, they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God used these miraculous works to lead them, and they were able to see these works to know that God was there, God was leading them. But we see something very interesting and honestly very sad. And if we're not guilty, we will look at the children of Israel and we will say, how dare they? After they have seen everything that God has done and they saw it with their own eyes, they still venture to question God. And we see here in verse 19, it says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? After all that God had done for them, all that God had led them through, God brought them out of the most powerful country in the world at that time. A people without any weapons, without any means to release themselves, God made sure that they got out of there. God provided for them in a barren place. And yet here we see in verse 19, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Verse 22, it says, in verse 21, it says, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. Friends, right now we are living in a crazy, crazy world. 2020 has been a year for the history books. We see here that the children of Israel said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And though we may have not said that with our lips verbally, I want to ask, how many times have we said it with our actions? How many times have we gone against, or we have refused to trust in God with our actions? Though we have maybe not questioned God verbally, we have gone against it. We have gone into a trial. We have gone into 2020 without seeking His help. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The Bible speaks very plainly of trust. In one verse that is very familiar to all of us, it's already been mentioned tonight, but it is a verse that has helped me, and it's a verse that even though it has helped me in the past, it is still a conviction to me. And it is still a verse that convicts me when I am going down the path of forgetting to trust in God. And that's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We're going to look at that verse tonight. But first, I want to look at a couple things about trusting in the Lord. When it comes to trusting in the Lord, I want to first say that trusting in the Lord, there must be a decision to trust in the Lord. It is not something that when we come into the first sign of trouble and to the first sign of a trial, now we decide to put our trust in the Lord. But it is something that while things are okay, things are going good, we need to make that commitment in our mind and in our hearts that when trouble does come, and it will come, friend, that our trust in the Lord is settled. The Bible speaks very plainly of trusting the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Psalms chapter 112 and verse 7, it says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Psalms chapter 118, verse 8 and 9, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Friends, you know something? As a Christian, I have been convicted lately and realizing that there is still going to be a world after November the 3rd. There is still going to be a job for Christians, no matter what the outcome is of November the 3rd. And guess what? God is still going to be on the throne on November the 4th. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. There are verses all through the Bible that speaks about how we should put in our trust in the Lord. And can I tell you something? I've looked. Pastor Angel, maybe you can correct me, but I've looked and I have not seen one verse where it says trust in the Lord and there will be a negative outcome. Every time where we see trust in the Lord, it comes with a positive outcome from God's word. Friends, put your trust in the Lord. We must make a decision as God's people that no matter what will happen, we will put our trust in the Lord. I think of the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3 who were faced with certain death from King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar made clear that if they did not bow down to his altar and follow his demands, they were going to be thrown in a burning fiery furnace. And they answered him. And they said in verse 17 of Daniel chapter 3, they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." These three Hebrew children had thought through something. They had understood something. I do not believe that this was just an off-the-cuff response that they decided they would tell the king at that time. This was a decision that had been made when they were younger. This was a decision that had been ingrained in them from the beginnings that they could understand. They had decided previously that they would put their trust in the Lord. There was a decision that was made. And friends, can I tell you something very interesting about Daniel chapter 3? We all know the story of Daniel chapter 3. Look at the very ending. If you are in Daniel chapter 3, look at the very ending. The three Hebrew children stood firm. They kept their trust in the Lord. They stayed firm to what they believed. And we see in Daniel chapter 3 that in verse 28 it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him and have changed the king's word." Friends, can I tell you, we see here three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men who stood up for what was right. Three. And they were able to change at that time the most powerful king's view. They changed the king's word. Friends, stand up for what's right. Keep your trust in the Lord. There must be a decision. Number two, there must be a determination. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Bible says in Psalm 73 and verse 25, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." Friends, when trouble comes, we've made the decision. But when trouble comes, we must have a determination to stick to that decision. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When my wife and I were first married, it was the day before we were married, we had the rehearsal at my home church. And at the rehearsal, we practiced the exchanging of the rings. How many of you have seen weddings where there has been a problem with the ring exchange? I've seen very few where the ring exchange went smoothly. And so my brother, who officiated the wedding, made sure that we were going to get this down smooth. Because we practiced, we didn't have any issues with it. But after the rehearsal was over, I made the wise decision to set the rings, a couple $1,000s worth of rings on the front pew and leave them and go on to other activities during that night. Well, on my way back home to grab a few hours of sleep before I was to marry my bride, I realized the rings are still in the front pew. Though I think they're safe, I better just keep an eye on them and go grab them. And I went to that. I went into the church. This was around 11 o'clock at night. To my horror, I saw that the rings were gone. My dad was the pastor of the church. And so I thought, well, maybe my dad saw them as he was locking up and went and put them in the drawer in his office where he doesn't want to lose the drawer that he puts everything in that he doesn't want to lose. And I went in. The rings were not there. And so I thought maybe he took out one of his books and put the rings behind the books and put them there for safekeeping. Started going through the books. My dad has a library of about 2,500 books. I didn't get through all of them before I decided to call my dad. I thought this would be easier to just wake up my dad and make sure that he has them. My dad didn't have them. Then I had to, unfortunately, I had to call and wake up my future bride. She did not have them. She called her mom, and we started calling the whole wedding party trying to track down these rings. Thankfully, my best man had them, and he had decided to grab them and to take on his duties as best man and guard the rings, but he didn't tell me. But we found them. But before that time, as we were trying to track down these rings, I was going through the whole church finding them, trying to find them. Can I tell you something? There was not anything else on my mind except finding those rings. I had a huge determination to find those rings. I was not dwelling on the excitement of what was going to happen the next day. I was not thinking about any of that because my sole focus, my whole mind was focused on the fact I need to find those rings. I had a determination. Friends, when we come to trouble, where's our determination at? There must be a determination. Friends, can I tell you something? The size of the problem that we may face in this life, the size of the problem does not matter. Big or small. All of them qualify to be brought before the Lord. So we must have a determination, big or small, to bring every problem to the Lord. It says, with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So there must be a determination. Number three, there must be a dependence. The Bible says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. As a man who likes to fix things, this one's a hard one for me. When I get to a problem, when I am encountered with a problem, my original response is, how do we get these things fixed? How do we get things done? How do we get out of the situation that we are currently in? But here the Bible's very clearly telling us, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Psalms chapter 73, verse 26, it says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. When I was a young boy, my grandpa was a farmer in North Carolina. He was a watermelon farmer. He was known all through North Carolina, his region of North Carolina, as being the watermelon man. And he could make some seriously good watermelon. And before he would plant, he would have orders already for how many watermelons a certain family would want. And but he loved Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And almost every time that I was there, as far as I can remember, almost every time that I was there, I would hear this verse quoted. And sometimes I would hear it explained to me in farmer's terms. One day we were walking, checking the fences. He had cows and we were walking around with him. I was walking around with him and he said, Michael, he said, you know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6? I said, yes, Grandpa, you tell it to me a lot. And he said, you know the part where it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding? I said, yes, Grandpa, I do. He said, you know what leaning on your own understanding is like? And I said, what's that, Grandpa? And he said, at that time I was about 10 years old and I probably weighed around 80 pounds at the time. And he said, you see that little sapling tree right there? I said, yes, Grandpa, I do. And he said, I want you to go and I want you to put all of your weight on that tree. So I said, yes, Grandpa, and I did. What do you think happened to that little sapling tree? At the base, it snapped. And he said, see, that's what's happened when we decide to try to get through things on our own. Our understanding cannot get us through those problems. And he said, when we try to get through problems on our own, we're going to snap. But he said, when we choose to put our trust in the Lord, it's like us going over to this big old oak tree over here that's been on my property as far as I can remember. It's over 100 years old. And he said, if you go over there and you try to shake a leaf, you're not going to shake a leaf because it is firm. It is grounded. It is rooted deep. And that's what it's like when we decide to put our trust in God, who His wisdom is infinite. His power is beyond our comprehension. Friends, when it comes to trusting the Lord, not only must there be a decision, not only must there be a determination, but there must be a dependence. We cannot get through this life on our own. No matter what path God has for us, there are many paths represented here in this room. No matter what path God has for us, none of us can do it alone. We need God. And we must have a dependence to Him. So we see that there must be a decision. There must be a determination. There must be a dependence. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 says, when we have those three things, something amazing will happen. There will be direction. How many times do we hear people, I just don't know what's going to happen next? Well, God does.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And as long as our trust is in Him, He's very clear that there will be direction.
Good.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Bible says in Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In closing, I want to look at a verse. If we could all take time to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. The Bible says, verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 9, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. The Bible's very clear. Don't rely on our wisdom. Boy, you may have a good GPA from college. But the wisdom, the problems that this world can throw at you, your wisdom alone cannot handle. It says, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Boy, we could break this down in two different ways, emotionally and physically. The problems that this world can throw at you. You say, I'm an emotionally strong person. Every man has a breaking point. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Our strength is nothing compared to the problems that this world can bring our way. But friends, guess what? God's strength is far greater than any problem that it can bring our way. Then it says here, let not the rich man glory in his riches. There has been a false sense of security in our culture that money can solve problems. It's actually been proven that, by experience, it's been proven that money causes more problems than it can solve. But let not the rich man glory in his riches. But you say, so we can't glory in our wisdom. We can't glory in our physical or our emotional strength or our fortitude. We can't glory in our bank accounts. What are we to glory in? But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You'll see my little daughter Kezia in here in just a little bit. She is a ball of energy. I don't know how tired she will be, so she might be a ball of emotions after a little bit. But if someone came in here, someone she doesn't know, and began to maybe just throw her up playfully, I can tell you she ain't going to enjoy it. But if I go up to her and I take her and I throw her up where she can see me, you might hear a laugh or two depending on how tired she is. But what's the difference? She knows me. She has a trust in me. When there is a problem, when she's scared about something, she comes to her daddy. It doesn't matter about anything else. If she is scared, if she is frightened of something, she is coming to daddy. One of the most wonderful things that I love as a daddy is to hear when she's maybe scared at night, to hear those words, Daddy, Daddy. I love to hear that. It just makes my super daddy come out. Here at the last part of verse 24 of Jeremiah chapter 9, we say that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Friends, we live in a world that is crazy right now. It's been crazy for a long time. It's a dark world. And there is a lot of confusing things happening in our world right now. But the Lord is very clear here that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. No matter how dark this world is, how dark it seems, God is still working. In scary places, in places of suffering, God is still working. God is exercising himself all through the world. But not because he has to. Not because in a sense of duty. But because he loves to do it. For in these things I delight. Friends, we serve a God who loves to hear us ask him for help. We should love to ask him for help as much as he loves to hear us ask him for help. In this world where there is confusion, and there is frustrations, and there are unknowns, I think we should all take advice to Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. God is still on the throne. God will be in control. And though the Oval Office, though our governorships may change, God is still going to be on the throne of heaven. And we can take peace, understanding, we can love that. Trust in the Lord. Pastor, if you could come.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Brother Dietrich, how old are you? 29. You know, it's one thing to hear somebody talk about trusting in the Lord who's lived in the States all of their lives, had a good paying job, needs met, something altogether different to hear a 29-year-old who had to have his wife evac'd to a hospital from the islands because she was sick, and the other issues and that they had to go through there in the Solomon Islands. It's another thing to hear somebody like that talk about trusting in the Lord. You know, they've kind of proven it. And that was outstanding. I love the point he made about that if we get those three things right about deciding and determination and dependence, then God promises direction. Promises. Great lesson tonight. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to have a come forward invitation. We haven't been doing that on Wednesday nights, but I would like to give you a moment just to pray there in your seat and ask the Lord to work in your heart about this matter. If He spoke to you tonight directly, as Brother Dietrich was speaking, I'm going to give Naomi time just to play a verse of a song. I will close in prayer. Speak to the Lord there as she plays. Make the decision. Make the determination. Depend on Him, and He shall direct thy path. Some of you are in that place where you need direction. We've talked about it. Well, there's your answer. How to find it. Complete trust. And I like what he said about making that decision before we have to make the decision. So you young people, make it now. Before life becomes a little bit more complicated after marriage, graduation from high school and college, make it now. The decision, I'm going to trust God. Father, thank you for the good message tonight. Thank you for the report. Thank you for the smiling faces. Lord, thank you for those that have been saved. We don't remember all the names, but he mentioned several that are still in the process, Lord, of you working on their hearts. I pray you'll bring conviction to those people and that they would soon come to Christ. I pray that you will be with Michael and Nora as they are in the States, as she carries this third child. May there be a safe delivery and a healthy baby. And then that the door would be open to return right away to the islands to do the work you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.